Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
I hope that the Cubs smack the ever-loving tar out of the ball.
Should we reveal what we're going to do? I think we should do the dollar bet. I think the Tigers are going to win the series.
You want this action? You can get this action.
I can do both. I'll do $2. I can do
$3. $2 each.
I'm in on this.
That makes it twice as important as our dollar bet.
I will pay the $6. That's how confident I am.
The 1-2. Fly ball, right field. Pretty well hit, but Carpenter going back. Still going. And Carpenter makes a leaping catch up against the wall.
Big catch in right field.
Ground ball toward the middle, gloving it as Baez throws to first. Ball game over. Detroit wins game one. Fly ball deep left field. This ball is going to be gone. A line drive home run to left for Seiya Suzuki.
Michael Busch hits one deep to right. Forget about it.
That ball is gone for a home run. Pete Crow Armstrong with his 17th home run.
The runner's out.
The Cubs win the ball game.
Strike three. Horner does not like the call, and Nico's just been thrown out of the game. And now Council has just been thrown out of the game, and he's letting him have it now.
Fly ball, shallow left. This game and this series is over. And the Tigers win 2 out of 3.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It is a Monday. We have our producing crew in the house today. It is Tyler Farringall in for Ray Diaz. The accepted nickname is Baby T. Robbie Triano joining us as well. And we also have Brandon Fryer helping out. You can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. It is Connor O'Donnell and Brian Gertsch on our video crew today. This is Rahimi and Harris, and we have to pay Robbie $2.
Checks in the mail, Robbie. Checks
Where's
in the
my
mail.
Money, man?
I've got a dollar in my notebook, but I have to go home to get you the other dollar.
Interesting.
I don't carry cash in the city, man.
No, I usually have cash on me. I can't find the cash in my bag.
If only there's a whole weekend to get that money. Huh?
It wasn't a whole weekend. There was yesterday. You acted like the series. When did he text us the third inning yesterday?
It was 2-0.
Yeah, he was very confident at 2-0, which unfortunately kind of gives you an indication that even Robbie knew the Cubs offense was not going to produce in the way we needed it to. Add in the fact that it was a Sunday where we know they've had issues. And either way,
bring me my money.
He's in his bag now.
The bigger point is we're going to look at this, I think, the exact way we should. Yes, Craig Council can say it's a series in June and you can downplay the importance of it. But once again, there are some truths about your team being told, and this is the time to figure it out before you can't make a decision about your roster anymore. And before you want to play another team that's trying to contend, like, say, the Phillies coming up.
What I love about this, and I'm not worried about the Phillies. Why? Because they've lost 5 straight, 9 of the last 10. They can't score any runs. And Bryce Harper's on the IL. Okay, now that I've got that out of the way.
I'm still going to pay attention to them.
No, I'm paying attention. Like, they have guys who are capable of pitching every now and again, like the guy who's on the mound tonight. But back to this series, and the Cubs got beat by the Tigers, kind of in the fashion that you would expect a team to beat the Cubs that doesn't have a great offense. They were just better at everything in terms of the fundamentals on defense, pitching, and offense. And Detroit showing you why, even though their offense is slightly plus, not great, but not bad, this is how they win games. They give you great pitching, and then they do all the right things otherwise.
And I think our question becomes, simply, after losing a series against the Tigers, why weren't the Cubs as good? Because I would argue that, yes, these were the two best teams in baseball based on record. But I think if you put the Tigers, for example, in the NL West, they're not going to have the best record. So knowing that, and knowing what they're bringing to the table, knowing that they didn't have the same type of offense the Cubs had, that they did, though, have strong pitching and strong defense, especially from their starting pitching. That still should not have resulted, I think, in the Cubs dropping 2-3. I still think they had multiple chances to not only win this series, but then there were moments in the games where you're saying to yourself, this is where it turned. The aggressive sends from third base cost them, and really at times where they didn't have to do that.
Looking at what you're talking about when you say aggressive sends, I don't have a problem with an aggressive send every now and again, depending on the situation, the score, who you're playing against. Maybe you can put the hammer down on a team early. Maybe you can close the door on them late. It's the confusion of, hey, I'm the third base coach. I'm telling you to go. Oh, but wait, hold up. And at that point, you're out. And if you have Pete Crow Armstrong, the base runner in question, following those commands, it's inexcusable, because you've got to know your personnel coming around second, and that has to dictate, I've got to make a surefire call. If there's any hesitation either way, you're doing Pete Crow Armstrong and your team, the Cubs, a disservice, and that's what we saw from Quentin Berry.
Right, on Friday, the Cubs lose 3-1. We see the poor send involving PCA. They lose that ball game, and you could argue that changes the entire game. If you keep him and you just wait for the next result to happen, which you know in your lineup is likely going to be something to send him home. And then additionally, yesterday, I don't know that it would have made as much of a difference in a 4-0 loss, but Ian Happ is out after, an aggressive send, and Ian Happ is slower than PCA, as we all know. I don't think that's a secret here for anybody. He gets called out at the plate. Craig Counsell challenges it. And for whatever reason, I believe that umpire took it as an insult because he was already so sensitive already. Nico Hoerner then tells him in the fifth inning that he had a bad day. And then you see exactly how that played out. Nico gets ejected. Craig Counsell goes up there, gets his money's worth. He gets ejected. And we are talking about events that happened that we shouldn't be discussing in a meeting of two teams that were the best in baseball by record at the time.
So that's why I think it was so unfortunate that Ian Happ gets thrown out in that situation, because while it is just one run, it is also an extra out. And who knows what they might have been able to come up with off Jack Flaherty in that situation if Ian Happ's not thrown out in the plate at that situation. You've got the heart of your order coming up. You feel good about where they are, but then all of a sudden now you're in trouble. It's funny because Ryan Spielborgs joined us right before he called that first game of the series on Apple TV. And Spielborgs told us exactly what to expect from Cubs versus Tigers, teams with two excellent records going head to head.
Series is going to be defense and base running. Tigers are the best base running team in the sport as far as going first to third, second to home on you. They just are extremely, extremely aggressive. Good teams do that. And when you have those type of base running, and it's like I bet you I could ask you guys to name four people on the Tigers starting lineup and you might get two. Like it's been amazing to see how this offense is constructed. And you'd be like, wait, that guy went first to third. Wait, that guy went first to third. So it just puts so much pressure on you defensively.
So this is what's interesting about it. The way he described the Tigers in real time when he was saying, I was like, hey, the Cubs are no slouches. They're a team that's third in the league in stolen bases. Do you know who's dead last in the league in stolen bases? Dead last. The Detroit Tigers. They've stolen 24 bases all year compared to the 82. But then I saw it over the course of a three-game series, just how good and consistent the Tigers are when it comes to defense, throwing guys out, base running, making things happen with runners in scoring position. The margin for error was just so small, and that's how the Tigers have been able to build the record that they have, is by playing against teams and just being better in those small things that might not seem that small, but they were large, especially when you consider the fact that the Cubs, all week long, they only had 6 stolen bases. And if you go back and look at the runners in scoring position, the Cubs, 1-for-8. The Tigers, 1-for-5 in game one. That's not a huge margin. They had more opportunities, actually, than the Tigers did with runners in scoring position.
If you give your team extra outs, as we've seen, even with the Cubs and the better teams in baseball, you're going to pay. And that's what happens. The Cubs not only gave away their own outs, as we saw, but then the Tigers take advantage of the margins that they need. So that's my issue with this, is that no matter how you look at it, like the poor base running errors and unfortunately, I think the aggressive send, you know, that combined, and that is what a playoff series is like. We are talking about these finer points that end up being the difference in the game. Unfortunately, part of that is because offensively, they didn't score many runs, as we know. You get beat 3-1, you win 6-1 on Saturday. Nobody's complaining about that. But in the losses, you have an idea of how they're going to lose, and they get shut out on Sunday, and that's something that has also been incredibly infrequent for this team, except it happened twice in a week. They struggle on Sunday, they get shut out 4-0, and then they also had that loss to Mackenzie Gore and the Nationals 2-0 on Wednesday. So, and that's what gives me a little bit of pause, because you're finally seeing are some of these streaky hitters going into their not hot streaks.
Well,
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We go back to the question, can the Cubs keep this up 6 runs a game for a whole season, or even 5.5 runs a game for a whole season? The answer is probably no. But at the same time, you just thought that they would come up bigger in those situations. So going back to the fact that they were 2-for-16 in the series with runners in scoring position, that's a great stat, right? But here's the thing. The Tigers were only 3-for-19. It wasn't like they were so much better. But when your pitching is on point, when you're not making mistakes running the bases, that's the difference between two good teams playing each other. It's the small, small things.
Well, especially you'd think that both teams would know that, especially when one's offense sputters as it can. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. This is the quote that I think on Friday from Craig Counsell that is valid in this. He says, "If Quittenberry, if Q could do it over, I think he'd keep his eyes on Pete a little bit in addition to the play. He thought that there was maybe a chance to score. If Pete is coming, Pete saw it the other way." That was on Friday. And then on Sunday, we see what happened with Hap.
Yeah, I think the thing that happened Friday was the miscommunication that can't happen on the base pass. If you send a guy and he's out, that's different. I mean, to be fair, they reviewed the play at home. It was an aggressive send, yes. I didn't have nearly as much problem with that as I did specifically with what happened with Pete Crow Armstrong and Quentin Berry, because that honestly just can't happen at this. It's not like we're in spring training, right? You should be in a good rhythm with your individual base runners, knowing your personnel, as they say, KYP, KYP. And with the Ian Happ thing, the only thing that gives me pause is, You got other guys coming up. You're in a good position before you get him thrown out at the plate.
I just think it's one thing to go first to third. It's another to go second to home when you know guys have cannons in the outfield. Like that was, and I know there's a lot of people on our text line, 312-644-6767, talking about how the onus there was on PCA slowing down. And yeah, at that point, you have to either aggressively go or you aggressively stop. You know, either way, but they caught you sleeping. And that's really the bottom line. Now, how much did the challenge affect Derek Thomas? I think it did because it was right in front of him. But that doesn't mean that you have the right on Sunday to eject Nico Horner the way he did.
Let's go back, though. If you go back to Doug Eddings being the home plate umpire, it just wasn't a good week for officiating in Detroit. Now, Robbie Triano will argue with me and say it was a great week for officiating.
Man, Doug Eddings basically gave that strike zone was about the size of Lake Superior.
It wasn't even that it was the size of Lake Superior. It seemed to be in flux.
It was like outside, down, away.
It was inconsistent, and it was everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't really like bad. It's one thing if, like, hey, I know we're playing with a loose strike zone today. But another thing is, oh, that pitch is a strike, and that pitch is a ball. Well, no, if that pitch 2 or 3 inches off the plate is going to be a strike to one hitter, it's got to be a strike to the next hitter or the other team, more importantly.
Also, what do people always tell us? Hitters will always tell us, just let us know what it is.
Yes.
Just let us know what the strike zone is supposed to be. And that's not even acknowledging the new part of this in Major League Baseball where they have, what is it, the inch and a half now around the strike zone is the common discussion for the margin. But that was not what was happening on Friday, for sure. That was, especially outside. I just thought, like, some of the outside pitches, I'm like, that is several inches off of the plate and high. Like, how are you getting away with this? And even Chipper Jones, I noticed, commented on Twitter. Chipper's been a little more baseball commentary-y, I feel like, this past couple of weeks.
As he should be. I love when former players weigh in. Like, hey, look, you don't have to get them, like, on a podcast doing their thing. Yo, just tweet what you see. Tweet what you see as a former base, as a Hall of Fame former baseball player. That's what I like to see.
Well, and yeah, I want to see it because he added the Rob Friedman pitching ninja video. Not only one of the worst umpires in the league going on for 2 decades, but consistently one of the most confrontational, toxic combination.
Listen,
but it is a ridiculous, if you watch this video over and over again and you see all of the pitches that are out of the zone. It's pretty funny.
Talking about a rough weekend for the Cubs in Detroit. They dropped 2 out of 3. It's not like they got swept. It's not like they got blown out. It's just noticing that the devil really is in the details when you're playing against another top caliber team, an elite team. And I think the strike zone thing, it kind of gets illustrated with Jack Flaherty because it wasn't just the play where Nico gets thrown out of the game, which is ridiculous, by the way. If that's what we're doing with umpires, if umpires are throwing people out for just saying, hey, you're having a bad day, if that's where we are, we're in trouble.
Who is the guy last year who threw Aaron Boone out because a fan said something?
Right.
That
I remember
was
that.
Pathetic.
It was coming from behind the dugout. He thought it was coming from the dugout. And he was like, nobody said anything. What are you talking about?
My favorite part was when it got reposted on social media. All the people who didn't even notice that the fan was the one who said it, they also made the same mistake. And I'm like, that's where we are. That time it was 2024. We are definitely there in 2025. But I think we all thought the same thing after this series concluded. Like, at what point do the robotic strike zones become far and away better than whatever we saw, especially on Friday?
Here's my point on the Sunday game specifically with Flaherty on the mound. In all of his starts so far this year, 13, Jack Flaherty, he's been good, right? He hasn't been great, but he's been good. He's been better of late. He had 10 strikes swinging in that game, which is a good mark, double digits.
Yeah.
He's been pretty consistent about being in the 9 to 12 range most of the time. His strikes looking, he went and jumped up from 16 in his previous start to 24 against the Cubs because the calls weren't even making it. So Kyle Tucker strikes out later in that game. And one of the reasons Kyle Tucker strike out is because he's like, I don't know what I'm doing because you just called this strike two and it's clearly not a strike. I don't want to get thrown out like Nico did because I know if I say anything, you're going to throw me out because that's the precedent. And so then he takes a strike three, which was actually a strike on the corner because he's like, He has a profile. He strikes out less than he walks, but you've messed with his profile because you can't give me a consistent strike zone.
Which, I mean, if this is the ump show and ego is what matters in scoring, you know, in ball games now, there's invisible ump points that we're all trying to score at home, then by God, you know, that objective was absolutely hit. But in this case, this is an actual ball game where you shouldn't affect the game at all, except in your accuracy.
We got a couple of umps in Derek Thomas and now Doug Eddings, who are vying to be the number one pick in next year's fantasy ump draft. That's what we have right now. And I would say this, don't draft him at all. It is far and away been proven by this series. If you're a Cubs fan, if you're a Chicago baseball fan, this series has cemented one thing. Bring on the ABS. Bring on the challenge system. If not full-on automatic robo-umps. Like I think we're headed to robo-umps. I don't think that's happening like next year, but I know the commissioner, Rob Manfred, has already said what you saw in spring training and 60% of the spring training games with the challenge system, which if you've been in the minor leagues the last 4 years, you know how it works, right? I think that's coming to baseball next year, and the point was proven as to why it's needed in baseball immediately. They could get this thing for the second half of the season or the postseason. I know they can't because the CBA and everything. They should.
If you're a Major League umpire and your job is on the line, don't give them more ammunition to make sure it's eliminated. And both of those instances show you why the automatic strike zone should happen. There is no way that was a valid ejection. And that's embarrassing for everybody involved. Your ego took over at that point, Derek Thomas, and it should not have. You end up looking soft. We know your name for reasons we don't want to. You look weak. And then you also just proved to MLB that umpires shouldn't be in the positions they're in.
Listen, I want to go a little deeper into why the people who are against the ABS and are against the challenge system and really are against robo-umps in the future, they're wrong, Layla. They're wrong. They need to just go take their head out of the sand, stop yelling at the clouds, and just get with the times. Evolve or die.
I like this point by 616. Bad strike zones by umpires are killing important games. I would agree with that. There's been too many times where we've talked about them in pivotal games in baseball. Too many times. We have more to come here on 670 The Score. It's Raheem and Harris. We want to talk about the Cubs against the aces that we have seen so far. Good example was last week with Mackenzie Gore and also Tarek Skubal. We will discuss, examine, and more with the Phillies coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.